A good We are in Chodesh. We're going to do the 17th Cheshbon, Shiva Asa. This is an interesting one. This is about our social life. So, a person should contemplate. When you feel your natural tendency to seek social life, to enjoy social life, enjoy being with other people, spending time with other people. So he gives us some cautions. So he says, first of all, you have to appreciate the benefits of solitude. Now, I would just want to put this into perspective immediately before we get confused here. He's not telling us to become hermits. He is going to be trying to impress on us an appreciation of knowing how to be yourself. Not that you should be yourself all the time, but knowing how to be by yourself. And also, these will be the main 2 points that will come out of this in practical terms. And also, words of caution, pitfalls to be aware of when you are in a social setting. So let's see. So first of all, he says, appreciate the benefits of being by yourself, being able to just think. Not having your thought processes and your feelings just being stirred and mushed around by the input of the people around you. And also the problems that come about from being around foolish people. Now, by foolish people, we'll explain what we mean. We don't mean a person who's naturally more intelligent or less intelligent. What we mean is people who aren't living with the right ideals, people who aren't growth-oriented, Olam Haba-oriented, Ruchnius-oriented. Superficial people, people who live for the moment, people who just live for the material. And he's telling us that there are real problems with being involved with these people too much. And unless there's some specific need, meaning there's already a certain directive here. Choose your friends with care. Don't just go by who do I have a good time with. But if our whole life, it's like Masil Yisharim says, is directed at getting to Olam Haba, we want all the different ingredients of our life to be facilitating that, to be helping move that in that direction. We all understand, should understand, that this has to do with the kehillah you choose to put yourself in, the rabbanim you choose to expose yourself to get connected with. But it also has to do with your social circle, the people you spend time with. The friends that you choose, the people you choose to surround yourself with. Now, and he goes on and explains. The problem with being around, again, what he's calling fools, what we're going to call non-spiritual oriented people. Okay? The problem with being around such people is Moisrei HaDvarim. First of all, there's too much unnecessary talk. What do we mean by unnecessary talk? Again, we're not necessarily talking about just being quiet, but gossip. Just chatter about people, about everything going on around. The Omar, Venema, this one said, that one said, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Ubilbul And just a lot of bilbo. Sorry, this might be. Sorry, just a moment. Hello. לא, אם אפשר להתקשר לבית, 02-999-6941. טוב, תודה. בסדר גמור. קומה 5, דירה 13. כן. תודה. תודה. סליחה, נתן. אוקיי. So the truth is, you know, we'll get a little extreme here. I'll just illustrate something in extreme terms, even though this is not what we're aiming for necessarily. But there was a when the Bris Korov first came to Eretz Yisrael, so Eli Lapian, who was already here, it was vice versa. One was already here, the other had just arrived, and Eli Lapian came to visit the Bris Korov. Okay, came to meet him. Gadol Adar. Came, walked in, said Shalom Aleichem. The scribe told him to sit down. Sat down, and they sat there. The Bris Korov said nothing. He had nothing to say. Eli Lapian also said nothing. He also had nothing to say. They sat together for about 5 to 10 minutes. Neither one said a word. Nobody felt the pressure to say something. You know, it's awkward. It's quiet. Nobody felt that pressure. He didn't come because he had something to talk about. He came because he wanted to meet him. And he was receiving him, not because he had something to ask him, but because they wanted to meet each other. So they sat together for about 10 minutes, and then Rebelli Lapian got up and said, goodbye. And he left. And afterwards, the Bris Korov said to the people around him, when Bisrael Salanter founded the Musar movement, that's what he was envisioning. That's what he was envisioning. Meaning that each saw it as a sign of greatness in the other. That there was no need to talk. Now this, as I said before, it's a bit extreme. This is not necessarily what we're driving at. But we are first coming and making the point that talking doesn't always have to happen. And actually the ability to be in a setting with other people and just not talk is a valuable skill. It's a valuable skill. I saw a line from, oh, it was like this. There was famously, everybody heard of the Netziv, I imagine. And I imagine everybody heard of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. The Netziv was the grandfather-in-law of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. They operated at the same time in the Volozhin Yeshiva. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva, and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was giving shiurim. And they were two big powerhouses, very, very powerful personalities, dominant personalities. And they gave the yeshiva a very, very vibrant flavor, the two of them in the same. But who's the link in the middle, right? Reb Chaim, the Netziv was the grandfather-in-law, and Reb Chaim was the grandson-in-law. Who was the man in the middle? The man in the middle is, unless you probably, I don't know if you've heard his name. His name was Reb Refoel Shapira. He was the son-in-law of Reb Chaim, and of the Netziv, and the father-in-law of Reb Chaim. Don't try to keep track of exactly the, whatever it is. He was in the middle, and he was a very quiet person. And just in a practical sense, he was overshadowed by the great powerhouses over him and under him, who really dominated the scene. Like he was a very, very great Talmud Chacham, one of the Gedolei Hador, but he wasn't that kind of presence. He didn't dominate the scene. So one time he made a comment, a very profound comment. He said, "People think I'm quiet because I don't have what to say. But that's actually not why. The reason I'm quiet is because I know how to be quiet." In other words, he was expressing that it's an art. It's an ability. It's an ability. And this is an ability that the Chovetz Chavavos wants us to acquire. Now, again, we're not talking about becoming a mummy. But we're talking about appreciating that not everything has to be said and heard. So now, Omar al-Chacham, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Beroiv dvarim layechdal pesha." This is a very important point. He's saying, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, "Beroiv dvarim layechdal pesha." If there's much speech going on, there will inevitably be sin. Meaning, if there's just free speech, that's really the way we should say it. If there's just everybody sitting around and just freely schmoozing and for a long time, problematic things will make their way into the conversation. V'omar echad min hachachamim, one of the chachamim said, "Etzor moysa, hold back your extra speech. Achasay seal your tongue's excessive movement. Umidaber, and keep back from speaking of people. Vaskira, and speaking badly of them. The Yetzirah has what Chazal call a bris krusa im aloshin. The Yetzirah has a business relationship with the tongue. And that is that it's geschmack to talk negatively. Explain it as we will. It's more geschmack to complain about things than to say how wonderful things are. It's more geschmack to see problems. I'm not talking about you necessarily, but I'm talking about in a general way. When you hear people talking, look, wait. What's the hack usually? The hack is usually are all the problems with society and the problems with the president of the shul and the problems with the rabbi and the problems with the head of the organization. And if you would know what I would know, and how do you know? Because you heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else. And when people are doing good things, it's much more geschmack to say, I know what he's really after, etc. These are just more popular ways of speaking in the general crowds. And this is what the Chovos HaLevavos is trying to get us away from. So the truth is that speaking negatively of other people is actually Lashon Hara. But there's the next level of people who just make it their business. They say, we don't want to be talking about people b'chol. People are not a subject of conversation. People are not a subject of conversation. Gossip, even if it doesn't actually make the grade of Lashon Hara, gossip to be just for, as a point of interest, to be talking about what's going on with that family or that person, etc., etc. What's that? Oh, if it's a good thing, so what's that?
This one got engaged.
Right. No, so those types of things we're certainly not talking about. We're not talking about, saying good news. You'll want to draw the line is, so you talk about someone who got engaged and how did the shidduch come about? Ah, exactly. Exactly. And depends who's in the crowd. It's not getting into the ins and outs of the families involved, but certainly we want to be sharing good news. And you know what? The truth is that there is also a great value in positive talk, to be able to talk about beautiful things going on in the community, what this person did, what that person did. There's actually a big feeling about it. On the one hand, sometimes if you talk about how wonderful this person is, that organization is, this kahila is, that person is, people might look at you like a little naive, doesn't exactly get it. Doesn't exactly get it. Anybody who's a little sharper sees through people and understands what they're really after. Everybody's really after the wrong things, right? But then there's the next level of, this is actually something I'll quote Oh Hashem, my wife's grandmother is a woman very well ahead in her years, Baruch Hashem, gesund for many more years, and running her business. And she is a woman who just has only the most wonderful things to say about everybody around her. Always has, speaks about how wonderful this one is, how wonderful that one is. And for opposite reasons, she might say about this woman, she keeps house, the how you say it? She keeps house like a real balabusta. Everything is spick and span. Everything is orderly, right?
That could be a fancy talking to
Oh, and then she'll say about another woman, you see how relaxed she is? She'll say it also in the same complimentary, glorious tones. See how relaxed she is? Doesn't matter. Things can be flying. Everything she just sees beautiful things. So one time, someone in the family asked her, Yeah, I know you, in your world, everybody is wonderful, but don't you like sometimes realize that X or that Y and that Z? She gave him a little look and she said, I see everything. Meaning, there's the level of being naive. There's the level of, oh, I get it. And then there's the next level of, yeah, but I'm able to still focus on the higher level of things because that's the person I want to be. That's the person I want to be. So there's certainly a value. Sit at the Shabbos table, make a point of talking about wonderful things that are going on around. A little bit of a change from the fashionable mode of speech about how terrible everything is around. But to talk, to point out that there are wonderful things happening around us. They're not going to be highlighted in the news because people will stop buying that newspaper if that's what they're going to advertise for 2 days. We want to see the schmutz. But there certainly is value in talking about wonderful things going on just here. The Chafetz Chaim actually gives us a little word of caution. And he says, know who your listeners are. Because if you have at the table the one who's going to say, oh, him, if you would know what I would know, right? So the Chafetz Chaim says, be careful. When you're praising someone, be careful that you don't get to a place, and sometimes it's better just not to praise if it's actually going to trigger the one who's going to get up and say, yeah, well. So, okay. What's that?
You feel bad because that person whose house still renovating, she doesn't necessarily keep house, so not, like her. She doesn't know me talking
Oh, that's right.
to
Part
her.
of the chokhmah is to exactly that, to be able to see what's so great about the person you're talking to. That's right. But that's part of my point. This is a woman who's able to praise people with full sincerity for opposite things. For opposite things. If one woman's greatness is the fact that she doesn't care about what the house looks like, and the other person's greatness is that she does care about what the house looks like, right? Et cetera. So, okay, all kinds of exaggerations, mistruths that can come around just sitting in the society of, or in the social setting with superficial people, etc. And he gets into the whole subject of swearing falsely, which apparently was more of an issue in earlier times. I don't think that's something that we really need to be so into now. Skipping a bit. Vahagaiva. Sometimes there's that sense of sitting in a social setting and each person needing to one up, to one up themselves. It's almost like this subtle competition about who gets it more, who's more with it, who, and there's that certain pressure of needing to hold your own. Halitzanus. Sometimes it could just get to frivolous kind of talk where people start making jokes, lowering their dignity, their level, making jokes about things one shouldn't be making jokes about. That's right, that's right. The lates is the scoffer. What that means in practical terms is when people are making jokes about serious things, we want to be sitting in a setting with people who share our values, who share our ideals. And things that are serious, they're relating to with gravity. Things that ought to be praised, they're praising. They're not interested in putting other people down and speaking negatively. Also, if a person is in a social setting where it gets to like digs at each other, from giving it, you show how sharp you are by putting the other down. So he's telling us, choose your social setting carefully. Be among people who are not going to pull down your level. Be around people who are going to be facilitating your ideals, the ideals that you want to be living. This is an interesting thing that they said about the Chafetz Chaim. See, the Chafetz Chaim was, well, I'll say two anecdotes about the Chafetz Chaim. One thing was that he was once on a train. And there were a group of merchants from people all sitting together, and he was in the same car. And The conversation started going toward people, and some people there started rendering opinions about different people. And the Chofetz Chaim spoke up and started getting into, sometimes you hear your grandchild or whatever it is talking about cars. Right? There's the Ferrari and there's the Geely and the this and that. And you think, oh, come on, why are you so into cars? So the Chofetz Chaim started talking about horses. That was the equivalent to the cars in those days. Started talking about breeds of horses with passion and enthusiasm. Again, if we're translating into contemporary terms, it would mean getting into a whole discussion about cars. But yeah, that 17-year-old boy might really enjoy. But Chofetz Chaim got into a whole discussion about horses and which breed of horse is better than the other one, etc. Something that should interest these guys. And what was the idea? He was trying to divert. It's not that Chofetz Chaim had a keen interest in horses, but he preferred that the subject of discussion be horses than people. Now, this is something interesting that was noted about the Chofetz Chaim. Talmidim said what was so amazing about the Chofetz Chaim was also misleading about him. He was the Shmir HaSalasha man, right? He's the man who revolutionized the whole issue of Shmir HaSalasha. So what would you imagine if you're picturing him? You might imagine a man of few words, but he wasn't. And this was something that Talmidim in the yeshiva said. One Talmid who was there as a young Talmid in the yeshiva in Radin said it was ironic because to the young boys, in terms of the impression, there was sometimes more of a reverence for the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law than for the Chofetz Chaim himself. Why? Chofetz Chaim, first of all, he bore himself very, very simply. And he had hired Rosh Yeshivas in the yeshiva, and he was the administrator. He was the one who was changing lamps and fixing things in the yeshiva. So that's number one. Besides that, they said that his son-in-law, his name was Hirsch Levinson, was the profile that, if you're thinking about a great Kaddosh, a holy person, he was the profile you would expect. He was a man with very measured words, carried himself with an aristocracy, etc. He was a very great person. So while the Chofetz Chaim said he was talking, he talked and talked and talked and talked. He was talking to anybody around. Said it took a lot of maturity. You had to be on a higher level to appreciate that all of his talk was A, 100% pure, but all had so much value. That's why in the Chofetz Chaim's time, before he became famous when he was already an older man. But earlier than that, he was regarded. It took a great person to recognize the greatness that they were seeing. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, for example, was an Adam Gadol himself. And he had a discerning eye, and he saw the greatness. And just give you two examples of how Rabbi Elchanan related to Chofetz Chaim was that one time, Chofetz Chaim had a kollel where he had a kollel just to cultivate great Talmid Chachamim, specifically had a kollel kachin. He had very prestigious kohanim living in the kollel because he wanted people to be very abreast of all the halachas relating to Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash because if tomorrow morning, Bezos Hashem, we'll have Beis HaMikdash, we need people who are ready to serve. So he had very chashuv of kohanim in his kollel, including the Panovich Yerov was a kohen, the Naftali Trapel was a kohen. But the part of which Jerov was learning was the Chavrus of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. And they were learning together in the Kollel, and they needed a certain sefer that wasn't available in the Beis Medrash. Chofetz Chaim had many Sfarim in his home. So they went to the Chofetz Chaim's house. They went to knock on his door to ask if he had sefer XYZ. So they knocked on the door. He opened the door. And they asked him if he has this and this sefer. The Chofetz Chaim looked for it. I don't remember. Either he had it or he didn't have it, whatever it was. And they were ready to leave. And then the Chofetz Chaim turned around and looked at his bookshelf and gave a little sigh. And Bochanan jumped and he stopped, like he stopped, he turned around and he said, I want to know why the Rebbe just sighed. The Chofetz Chaim was like, what? And he gave a little, he gave a little sigh, like sometimes we do. And Rabbi Elchanan said, I want to know why. The Rebbe just gave a little krechts. I want to know why the Rebbe just gave a little krechts. Chofetz Chaim was like, what do you want from me about that? So the Panovich Rav was telling this story. He said it started getting a little bit awkward. said, I said to him, let's go. We came for a safe, and now let's go. And Rabbi Chanan said, no, I'm not leaving. I want to know why the Rebbe just gave a krechts. So finally, the Chafetz Chaim acquiesced, and he said, you know why? He said, I looked at all my sfarim, and I thought to myself, all these sfarim costed money. Money is a product of time. With that time, I probably could have learned a few more blot of Gemara instead of buying those sfarim. And that's why I gave the krechts. So then Rabbi Chanan turned to the Panovich Rav and said, you see why I insisted on hearing why I gave the krechts? Rabbi Chanan knew to appreciate that not only every word of the Chafetz Chaim had value, but that even a little sigh had value. There was another incident where the Chafetz Chaim one time on Lower Rosh Hashanah gave a shmooze, and one of the people came out of the shmooze and said, he said the same thing last year. And once again, it was Rabbi Chanan who said, no. He said eight words differently than the way he said it last year. Okay, but what's my point? I'm coming back to the point that we want to be on top of the type of talk we're involved in and exposing ourselves to. We want to be in a setting of people whose talk is going to be idealistic, whose talk is going to be facilitating the goals that you yourself have, the place where you yourself want to get to. Not that I have these goals in life, but I enjoy spending time with these people, and they're more superficial people, and they don't share your goals. They'll be pulling you down. They'll be pulling you down. So this is what he's saying. The problem with spending time, being in the social circle of what he's calling fools, meaning people whose ideals are superficial or don't necessarily have ideals. They live for the here and now. So beware of your social settings, of your social activities. Okay. And then he goes on and he says, this is a subtle point, and that is, again, we need social involvement. We need to have a social life. It's an emotional need to be spending time with people too. But at the same time, appreciate the value of time spent alone. Know how to utilize time spent alone. Time spent alone is a time when you can really just reflect on your own inner feelings. You can take stock of what you're up to. You can. Our Yiras Shamayim largely comes, our sense of connection to Hashem largely comes from the times that we're alone. Because that's when we're able to focus on it without distraction. Then when we're busy interacting with people, we have to be operating off that. We have to be maintaining that. But almost inevitably, when you're busy talking to people, it's going to have to be a distraction from your focus on Hashem, your sensitivity to it, your connection with it. So appreciate that time spent alone is where you really develop your stronger inner feelings of connection with Hashem, of Yiras Shamayim, of idealism. Okay. And then he goes on. I'm not going to read it all inside, but then he goes on to again talk about the competition that exists when you're among other people, the competition of showing that you're in on things, whether it's in terms of whatever issues there are of social status, etc., that sense of making sure that you're being the one heard. Then he goes on and notes another interesting pitfall. And that is, he says, and if you are going to be in a social setting with people who might not always be talking properly, there's another problem you're going to have. And that is that it may become your responsibility to stop them. It may be your responsibility to be the one who, oh, she's the tzaddikus, who's going to speak up and say, I don't think that that is something we should be talking about. This might be lashon hara. This might not be an appropriate subject of speech. It might be challenging to do that. You don't want to be the next target of that person's barbs. So says, if you just avoid, you come into the chasana and you see that there's the table of people sitting around the table and there's another two empty spaces. You can sit down there. But as you look at the women there and you see, I get the idea. I know what kind of conversation is going to be going on there. You may just be better off going to the other table where nobody is sitting yet and sit down and hope for better luck with the people who are going to show up. Because again, he says it puts you in a situation where if you're there, it may, yes, be your responsibility to do the speaking up. This is an important point to realize. If you are in a setting where people are starting to say the wrong thing, Chofetz Chaim talks about this, essentially, it is your obligation to speak up and say, do it nicely, do it politely. Don't make the other person feel like a fool. But say, I don't think that this is something we should be talking about. Now, like we said before, that can be challenging. That can be very challenging. Chofetz Chaim says, at least put on just like a displeased face. But certainly don't smile along with it. Now, if you just avoid that table in the first place, or if it's in a living room and you just kind of say, I think I'm going to have to retire now, or go into the kitchen, or whatever it is. You're avoiding that. You're avoiding Okay. So now, okay, of course, there's also inappropriate things about things that just shouldn't be interesting a person with Torah ideals, but that might be very interesting to people in the broad world out there. But whatever the case is, we're coming back and saying, it comes and kind of sums it up by saying, Ukranema, ki amud bar halevav, the core of having your heart in the right place is avas habdidus ubchiras hayachidus. Is the way I'm going to translate it into practical terms. The way he says it is loving solitude and choosing to be by yourself. So, what we'll say, just to put it into more practical terms for us, is to realize the value of time spent by yourself, to be able to appreciate time spent by yourself. We're not talking about knocking out your social life, but as we're saying, we're talking about, on the one hand, knowing what to do with time spent by yourself. Today, Bifrat. Okay, even I am still from the generation where I still remember life without cell phones, right? But if people growing up today who don't know what it means to have 5 minutes where there's no connection with somebody else. We used to have it every time we walked down the street, right? You walked from your house to the store on the corner. There were 3 minutes, 5 minutes, where you just weren't in touch with anybody. And today, it's a concept that doesn't exist, which means that people can come to a place of totally losing the concept of just being with yourself, of just being by yourself and just being with yourself. So this is something of value to be able to hold on to, know how to just be with myself, how to utilize time with myself, not to always have to have the connection to anything and everything on and with me so that I shouldn't feel lost. That's actually when you feel found. You should feel found then. When you're connected to anything and everything, you're just floating and really disconnected from yourself. Then he goes on to the next element of the discussion, and that is putting the stress on the positive side of making sure, yes, to mingle with the right people. This is something we'll leave Bli Neder for next week. Okay, a gute Woche.
Yeah.